I'm Danny.
And I'm Althea.
And we are
DNA Live, baby. Welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, so anyway, I wanted to start off the show with DJ Angetic, featuring MCity Jr. on Friday nights. We have the artist review. I suggest everybody tap in on that. That's just, I said, what, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock, usually. Sometimes if we run a little bit over, we're going to tell everybody it starts at 10.
Oh, okay. So we got that at 9 o'clock, so everybody tune in on that.
Oh,
what?
Can I say
something? No, go ahead.
Say something. Artists better be tuning in. Let's go, man. The hottest radio station inside New York. The hottest internet station inside New York.
There you go.
93.7 DNA Radio.
Okay. So, and also note that winners will be selected to be on DNA Radio 93.7.
National and international radio play, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. So, with that said, I wanted to bring up...
And one second.
Oh, sorry.
And they will be announced on the DNA show.
Yes, it will. Okay. Can I go now? Okay. So, anyway, I wanted to bring up a very talented individual, and her name is Miss J. Just J, just the letter J.
Miss J.
And she's, I mean, I can't say enough about her. She's a phenomenal artist and she's a great performer. And she just came out with a new single called Warm Honey. And I have the pleasure of getting that single. And we wanted to play it right now on DNA Live.
Ooh, we got an exclusive?
We got this, baby. So let's play it. Okay, Bobby?
You already know it's your boy. Miss Jay, what's going on? Warm Honey, you already know.
Your love is like warm honey. Drip over me and touch. It's like easy money. I can't get enough. What you doing to me? I thought of my feet just thinking of it. Your love is like, whoa, honey. Sticky, icky, so hard to get off of me. I can't get enough, it hypnotizes me. Your love is like, whoa, honey.
Just wow. Just, I just I can't with this woman anymore. I just, I mean, the it's not just the lyrics. It's the, you know, whoever she had in the background playing all those instruments, I give big props because it really puts you in the feels. You know what I'm saying?
I like the name too, Warm Honey. That's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, Warm Honey, Icky Sticky. I love it. I love it.
But make sure too, hold up real quick. Okay, go ahead. Make sure everybody is tuning in and listening to us right now inside Toronto. Put that up real quick.
Oh, Toronto. Thank you very much, Canada. They're listening in. Okay,
make sure everybody is listening. You're ready to Toronto, man. So big shout out because, you know, everybody hit us up about that. So everybody definitely make sure right now we in international. That's the cool thing about DNA. DNA is national and international.
You got that right. So if anything.
And Ms. Jay, excellent job.
Too. I know. I can't wait for the video. I know they're putting the final touches on it and everything. And we're going to put that up next week or whenever it's ready. But I can't wait for the video, too. She's phenomenal. Thank you, Barry. And we love you guys, and let's get on with the show, shall we?
Excellent.
Okay, so if anything, right back after. Oh, you got more?
Yeah, you got to get the into real quick.
Oh,
put up the independent Sundays. Oh. Artists is independent Sundays. Always make sure you guys tune in.
I am just so bad today. What is going on with me? I'm so sorry, everybody.
Independent Sundays, everybody already knows your boy, DJ Energetic, the hottest artists get played inside that playlist. Thank you guys very much for everybody listening right now. And back to you, honey.
I am so sorry. I am just messing up today, but that's okay. I'm allowed one time, okay? So now we have a brilliant pop artist coming up on the show. So stay tuned. After this commercial break, we'll bring you Benoy. Let's go.
Benoy.
Welcome to Paradise Content Creation Studios, where your creativity finds its perfect home. Imagine a space where innovation meets inspiration at every corner. Our state-of-the-art facilities are designed to transform your ideas into extraordinary realities. Whether you're crafting cinematic masterpieces or viral content, we have it all covered. Join a community of creators who dare to dream and push the boundaries of possibility. With cutting-edge technology and a passionate team, your projects are destined for greatness. Step into a realm where every detail is meticulously crafted for your success. At Paradise Content Creation Studios, unleash the power of your imagination and watch it soar.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
welcome to the show, Benoy. Let's go. There we go.
Let's give him a hand. Come on.
Let's give him a hand. Can we give him a hand? Can we give him a good bit? There we go. Big applause. Big applause.
Thank you, guys.
Oh, you're welcome. First of all, I think you're phenomenal. You are so very artistic. I was trying to find a word perfect. And I was like, he's very artistic with your videos, with your composition, with your dancing. Oh my God, you dance too. Let me tell you, you got moves. Okay. But let's just start off. He's actually in Kenya right now. It's 3 a.m. in the morning and he got up just for me and you. Can you get any better than that?
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
No worries. Are you kidding? Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. I'd wake up anytime, whatever.
You know, sleep.
There you go.
But what is the weather out there right now?
It's it's technically like the winter here. It's not too cold. It's like it's pretty pleasant. Everything is in Celsius here, but I think in Fahrenheit we're at a comfortable 60. You know,
okay, 60
with some rain, some clouds. It's pretty nice. And Nairobi, the city that I'm in, is like really high altitude as well, so it never gets like super hot or super cold.
That's pretty cool.
I know. I actually like that. in the 60s. I'm a 60s, 70s girl. I don't do the beach weather. I don't do 80s and 90s, you know, and hot and humid. Like, it's been like that in New York for quite some time. I don't even think we're going to see a decent summer this year, but that's okay. We only got 1 month left. But anyway, so you are of African and South Asian heritage, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So my dad is South Indian. My mom is Sri Lankan. But it's a pretty interesting story. My dad grew up between East Africa and Germany, randomly. Yeah. And then he met my mom. She was a stewardess for an airline called Gulf Air back in the 70s and 80s.
Oh, wow.
And they met in the air while she was working.
In the air.
He had already settled in Kenya. So I was born and raised in Kenya until I was 18. Hence why I'm back here visiting. I came back for my birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you. I know. Wait, time is passing.
Come on, Bobby. Give me the happy birthday.
Wow.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Thank you. All right. Sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. Thank you. I came back for my birthday and just to... to visit my dad, to visit my mom. I live in LA now, so super far away. It's a long journey.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't really get to see them
out here on the airline.
Oh my gosh. It's, jeez. You know, you have to make a stop, but altogether it's about 21 hours.
21 hours.
Yeah. What do you got to make a stop?
I usually stop in London because after I lived in Nairobi, I moved to London for university and spent a few years there. My sister lives there. So I get to see her, get to see a bunch of old friends, the whole thing. So this year I stopped in London for a couple of weeks and then came back to Kenya.
Oh, okay. So keep going on about your parents. Go ahead.
Yeah. So my dad actually doesn't live in Kenya anymore. So I've not just been in Kenya this whole time. He moved to South Africa. So I went all the way down to visit him. Just really kind of globetrotting, having a little summer of traveling. I think everyone is looking on my Instagram at me posting, you know, all of these travels, being like, what is he doing? Where is he going? Is he working still? And no, I'm taking a nice little break from work.
Yeah, because I saw it was said on one of your posts, it said from England to South Africa by way of Nairobi.
Yeah.
You know, he travels a lot.
Yeah, jet setting life. It's either I'm in LA for like 2 years in a row, not traveling at all and just working, or then I take, 6 weeks off and I go traveling.
But that's a good thing. But it's a good thing that I have only like, I'm Greek, right? But I only have like family in Greece. And the States, and I think a few of them are in London, actually.
What about Australia?
Oh.
Well, yeah, but most of them are dead now. So, I can't really say I have family anymore there. Most of them are gone. But I actually did live in Australia for about 5 years when I was younger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in South Adelaide. It's like nice. In the middle down by Perth, I think. But yeah, I mean, but it's good to have family because then you have an excuse to travel.
100%. But, then on the flip side, you're also like, I want to travel to somewhere new, but I feel duty bound that in my time to travel, I have to go visit family. Mm. So I feel like a lot of the trips I take end up being back to the same places, which is great. I'm not complaining. But
I wouldn't complain, but yeah, I have. Well, when I used to go to Greece, I would go to an island first. And I wouldn't tell them.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I wouldn't tell them. Oh, God. Now they know. Oh, my God. I just thought of that.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't tell them if I was going to arrive like September 10th, I would tell them, I'm not going to be there till like the 17th. And I would go somewhere else for like a week. And how would they know? Right. You're going on a plane.
You are one of the most messed up people I know. How are you going to tell your family straight up doing that? That's not all right. You know what? Enough with the flight talk. Listen. I actually very interested. How'd you get started in music? Like what made you actually decide to really start pursuing music?
Yeah. So growing up, I played a few instruments. I started with piano and then saxophone.
He's really good with the saxophone. He's really good with the saxophone. Go ahead, Ken. I'm sorry. I'm getting excited.
Thank you. No. No, all good. Yeah, so I started playing all of these instruments when I was younger. I was playing in like jazz bands and orchestras and all of that. There was always just a huge passion and love for music and performance, and especially like writing music. When I was in university in London, I worked a couple of jobs. I was a tutor for like 13, 14 year olds, just in like academic kind of subjects. But then I also started working in a studio at first, just as sort of like an errand boy type vibe. It was just a really small little boutique studio. And then I started being a bit of a session musician, especially with piano and saxophone. I never really got to record on any of the songs, but it was more just when artists would come in, I would sort of help them figure ideas out. And one of the producers there, he started helping me make some of my own music because I had been writing stuff, nothing like too serious, but I knew that I wanted to make music that I could release to the world. And he essentially told me, listen, I think you're good. You have some sort of talent. It would be great if you learned how to produce. You could either stay here and do that or push yourself out of your comfort zone. And he kind of inspired me with his story. He was, I think, Danish. And he wanted to push himself out of his comfort zone, which is why he moved to London, to a place where he didn't really know anyone. And I think he really advocated for moving somewhere new because you get to learn a lot about yourself. Sort of the discomfort yields growth of moving somewhere new. And so I chose LA, of all places, truly as far away from my family as I could get, it seems. And they love to remind me of that. And yeah, that's sort of how the ball got rolling. And I moved to LA, learned production. And from there, it was just, you know, one brick after the other. You kind of always have to have the confidence in yourself to make something, put it out, make something, put it out. And gradually, hopefully, it gets better and better.
Yeah, I mean, you have obviously your debut album was called The Great Alone. Explain that. Go ahead.
That's pretty cool.
I love this story. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I think solitude and loneliness has always been, I guess, a theme in my life, which I think is the case for most people. We feel loneliness in some capacity or another, whether we're, you know, surrounded by people or on our own. I was just really fascinated by the whole concept of it, you know, and I think that obviously people demonize and vilify loneliness for all of the sad aspects that it represents, but it is sort of an inevitability of the human experience. You know, we, like I said, regardless of whether you're surrounded by people, with someone you love, when all is said and done, you are navigating your experience of this world alone in your head because no one can understand the thoughts you're having, the feelings you're feeling. And there is a sense of greatness to that. You know, it's the soul experience, the solo experience of navigating existence is cavernous, but at the same time, it's quite suffocating, you know? Mm. I just think there's a lot of contrast and a lot of like fascination with the idea that we truly are all here navigating life on our own, even when we find companionship with one another and community. We are alone in our thoughts when we go to bed at night. And yeah, it took me years to kind of develop the confidence and the belief that I could make a full length album. And I always had it in the back of my head that like, okay, when the time comes, I really want to sink my teeth into a concept that I like, because I think as an artist, I'm quite conceptual. It's never really going to be like, all right, here's a random mass of songs, let's slap it together in one project. I really want to try and tackle, you know, a concept or a general feeling or an idea and kind of break it down into different songs. And so when the time came, I think it was also just a time where I was feeling very alone, reflecting on it a lot and just reflecting on my experiences throughout my 20s. And that's just kind of the title that I settled on and the idea that I wanted to really start breaking down.
He could be like a mentor, like a teacher or something. The way he talks, the way he speaks, the way he kind of, you know, he translates everything.
Converts, yeah.
Yeah, the way he just, you know, it's like I'm listening. I'm like, I'm in a class and I'm listening to my professor.
So my question to you is, right, from being in London and then flying to LA, what do you feel like, honestly, the differences between being in that kind of environment than being inside LA. Because London,
do you mean
London? My experience with London is, to me, every time I go there, everybody's like, it's always gloomy. And so, and I tell them, no, it's kind of like that, but it's not like really. Like, London has a lot, like when you go to places to go perform,
yeah,
they have like little pubs. And that's the cool thing about London, that London has, that's way, way different. Like when you hit the States, and then when you go internationally, you start seeing like the pubs, and you go in there, little, it looks like little coffee shops.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool. That's what I like about London.
But it's very intimate. I think it's very intimate there. You know what I'm saying? It, like when you, when you're in the States and you're at these venues and stuff like that, you're like a real large audience.
The States is nuts. The States is nuts. London is more kind of like reserved. That's how I look at it. You want to really be honest, the States are nuts. You go to, you go to New York, it's crazy. LA is crazy. Down south is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago's nuts. Shout out to everybody out there. You already know the DNA touch is all great. But I feel like when I'm out of, when I'm out of the country, it feels more reserved.
Reserved, right. I got you.
Much easier, sure.
Much easier, much laid back.
Yeah, I think especially with British people.
Yeah.
They're very laid back.
Except it, that car, man. When you drive, trying to drive that car, man, trying to understand it, it's like American go this way, they go that way. I'm like, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I would not be able to drive down a London street.
No, I can't. That's why I get a taxi.
Yeah, I would get a taxi.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Quick side note on the whole driving thing is my my best friend from LA is with me in Kenya right now. He's visiting, you know, it's like a little birthday kind of thing. And I really had to like push him to try and get on the road to drive a little bit. I too was nervous because I was like, I don't know how this is going to go. I'm used to it because like this is the side that I learned how to drive on. And then coming to the US, it was really, okay, now I have to switch my brain and drive on the other side. But for him, we truly turned out onto a main street for the first time, and he was on the wrong side of the road. And I was like,
oh my God.
This is a terrible idea. So I very quickly was like, let's switch back. Thank you so much. That was great. I'm so glad you could say you did it.
Yeah, because I did that too when I went to Greece, you know, because they have, you know, the driver's side on, you know, and yeah. And they have, one thing about Europe is that they have such narrow roadways, and that drives me nuts.
Yeah, right? Totally. American roads are huge.
Right? They're like this. And then you go down a London road or even a road in Greece and it's like this.
Yeah, but very much.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, but your cars are way different.
No, but I'm just saying it just fits the car. You would not be able to open the door unless you went actually drove up to the house.
I know. I tried to drive in London and I was like, I'm not doing this.
Okay.
So. everyone watching this. No.
No.
You're from the US. Go to London, do not drive.
Do not drive. Just
my boy's like, yeah, no, man, it's easy. All of a sudden, I'm like, and I'm like, this, all of a sudden, I'm looking back, and it's like, the road is not correct. I'm like, this ain't
it
right.
It wasn't
like,
that the road wasn't correct. You weren't correct.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's just get that straight, shall we?
Let's hear something.
Yeah, but.
Can we use it before you talk? Go ahead. I'm sorry, honey.
What's going on? Oh, sorry. I just. You can play music. I just wanted to say one thing quickly about I think one difference that I've noticed about, especially LA in particular, which I don't know if you guys spend much time over there, but between LA and London, and I think it's London and New York are a lot more similar in this regard. There's a huge culture of spontaneity with London and New York because it's like a walking city and there's always things happening and you can go out to a pub or a bar or a small venue and you'll see people, you can meet people, you know, there's, like I say, a culture of spontaneity. Whereas I think in LA, you have to drive everywhere, everything is more spaced apart. And, you know, people love to like plan everything. And so there isn't necessarily that culture of like, okay, we can just go out and we'll meet cool people and the night will take us. Yeah.
See, that's the one thing I will say about Greece, where I'm from, my hometown. It's a little town called Sciathista. And when, you know, when the night came and everybody would come out and everybody would go from the bottom to the top of the mountain, you know, of this little town, and you would just say hi to everybody on the way up. You know, there was all the cafes and the little clubs and the little bakeries and stuff. And you would just walk. And by the time you came down, it was like 3-4 hours later, but you had so much fun. Because you saw everybody.
Until they told you all that stuff, like you, because you used to be out as a female at certain times where you were not supposed to be out.
But you know how sometimes they have this little code, okay?
Yeah.
they got this little code about American females in Greece, but yeah, I was a little bit of a rebel, let's say. And I got yelled at a lot, but you know,
really,
oh my God, by my aunt, by my uncles, by my cousins, you know, like, you're not supposed to be out. You should be, you know, I'm like, well, what? It's only 9 o'clock for crying out loud. I want to go up there and do some dancing. Oh, but you know, you had to be like a, you know, ladylike and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And no, Althea don't play. Althea just doesn't play.
From
anyway.
Queens, so New
yeah.
York.
Yeah. That's how they go.
I was the last person to be joining them. Anyway.
That's why I was laughing.
Let's get on to one of his songs. Okay. Go, I got the video for Cosmic Cowboy. Can I play that right now?
Let's go. Yeah,
absolutely. Please do.
Let's go. You know what, that song is like, that's a kind of song that, like, if you have like a stressful day, right, and you had a bad day and you go home and you close your eyes, I could listen to that song. You know, it's a very enchanting, mesmerizing,
very easy. Who inspired you, honestly? Because I want to know who inspired you.
There's, you know, if you listen to the whole album, it's really multi-genre. Like, it's full spectrum, kind of. There's the super dance pop. And I think in giving you guys this video in particular, it is something that's quite different for me to do something so like spacey and dreamy. But it's just a song and a video I really, really love. I think when I was pulling inspiration for the album, so first and foremost, I grew up listening to a lot of like 70s rock, like Fleetwood Mac, the Eagles, the Beatles. My dad played a lot of that growing up. And my mom loved ABBA and Celine Dion.
Oh my God, ABBA. One of my faves.
Love ABBA. And so there's a side of me that's very influenced by that sort of like mellow soft rock. But then there's another side that's super influenced by, you know, the Swedish pop kind of masters of the 70s and the way that like bled into modern day pop music. With that song in particular, I did just want to do something really different and kind of swing in a place, leave alone swing big, just like swing in a way and in a place that I haven't really gone to before. An album that I was really, really obsessed with while I was preparing to make my album was by a band called Lord Huron, which is an American band. They're sort of like an alternative band, and they're the ones who inspired me to create an album that had transitions between all the songs. So again, if you listen to The Great Alone, every song kind of flows into one another, and doing that with a multi-genre album, very challenging. I don't recommend it. It's I was racking my brains trying to figure out how do I make this, you know, super dreamy, ethereal song transition into something that's like more poppy. And yeah, but the influences were all over. And I think something that has always and will always be important to me is lyrical songwriting. You know, it exists at the core of what I do. I love the lyrics that I write. When I was a child and when I was a teenager, I wrote a lot of poetry, and that sort of just graduated into being, you know, songwriting and writing music. And yeah, I really love that song. I love that video. It was a crazy story of how we made it, but something that I hold very dear to me. So I always will like champion that piece of work whenever I can.
Right. No, it was really perfectly done. And I just love the lyrics. And I really like you said, you have multifacets of music in your album, but that one really just popped out at me. You know what I'm saying? It just popped. I love the Cosmic Cowboy. I love it. I just love cowboys. Okay. Yeah. I love cowboys. He's a good looking cowboy too. Anyway, let's just go on. Also, I wanted to note, because you were also... Well, we were talking about your background and everything, but I wanted to bring up also that you do love tennis.
I do love tennis, yeah.
You do love tennis. And let me just stop the debate, okay? The ball is green.
Yes, thank you so much. I agree. Wow.
Okay, it is not yellow, it's green.
100%, 100%. But I think we're in the minority.
I think we are, because you know what?
I see it.
Yeah, I did ask a couple of people and they said yellow. And I was like, you guys are weird, okay? Yellow is like the sun, okay? That is like more of a
tennis
like
ball is green. I don't know what that is.
Yes.
It's like a neon lime, not neon lime green. It's like a neon lime green kind of color, you know?
Not yellow.
Yeah. But anyway, we can go on with this all day, but everybody was like arguing with me. So I was like, you know what? You tell that to my guest tonight, okay? So that's all I got to say. But you also a tennis coach too.
I am. Yeah, that's my day job. So growing up, I played a lot of competitive tennis. Both my sister and I did. I even got to represent Kenya growing up, like played international tournaments. And,
oh, wow.
You know, yeah, I spent, that was sort of how I split my time, was I did a lot of music stuff and I did a lot of tennis.
Tennis.
And it wasn't really something that I pursued professionally at the start of my 20s. Yeah. I was pretty much solely focused on music. And so that meant kind of, I went down the route of trying to create music for Sync. I was doing music for reality TV and doing just like all kinds of things, like making beats, putting them up in Sync libraries, letting people use them for like Twitch streams and, you know, their YouTube streams and everything. And I think it just depleted me. It really... Yeah. I felt like my creative well was empty, because that is a thing. Like, you can empty the well and then you have to spend time refilling it.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't necessarily given a lot of time or energy to focus on the stuff that I wanted to, which is, you know, being an artist and making the music I want to make and performing. And in my mid-20s, I got approached by a random crazy opportunity. And bear in mind, like, when I moved to LA, even when I was in London, I was playing a lot of tennis. It was sort of my safe space, my happy place. I had done a bit of coaching when I was younger, like summers in university, I would come back home to Kenya and I would go to the place that I learned how to play, and I would help my coaches as their assistant coach. And so I had a little bit of experience. Then I got approached to do this very random opportunity, which didn't pan out. It was sort of a reality TV show centered around tennis coaching, and specifically like tennis coaches who are pursuing creative lives and using tennis as a means to network and, you know, pay for their creative activities and pay for their lives.
Right.
And through that, I had a bit of imposter syndrome, because I was like, okay, here I am part of this, you know, opportunity. I'm not actually coaching though. I'm sort of just doing the creative side of it. And so I decided to get my certification. And the more I started to coach, it was sort of the opposite of everything in music, where in music, I felt like I was swimming against the current, always fighting, like rolling a giant boulder up a very steep hill. And with coaching, you know, just through word of mouth and just the passion that I had for it, it really caught fire without really me having to try. And I got a really great client base, people I enjoy working with of all ages. And I just decided, okay, when it comes to music, I just now get to focus on the things that I want to focus on, make the music that I want to focus on. And I have a great source of income coming from tennis. It's maintained, if not deepened, my passion for the sport. And it brings so much like balance to my life, mental health wise, because I get to go out, spend the day in the sun, doing something I love, talking to people, and really seeing the fruits of my labor right in front of me. Whereas, you know, with music, it's the type of thing where you work and you work and you work, and hopefully after years you see a little bit of progress, but it's very incremental, and it's like you have to put in your 10,000 hours and then some.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to sort of have a little bit of both. So yes, I do really love tennis. It's a huge part of my life.
Have you ever met any like tennis pros or anybody like Martina Navratilova, or I don't know all the big names. I don't, you know, the Williams sisters, you know.
I met Venus Williams at an airport once. She was lovely, gorgeous, so graceful. And one of my claim to fames is when I was younger, this is maybe now 10, 12 years ago, I had a Twitter page dedicated to my favorite tennis player. And I think maybe by nature of me like sort of falsely advertising myself as the official fan page of that player, even though I was just a random fan page, I got a lot of like famous players following me, including, Billie Jean King, and all of the like the Wimbledon Twitter account followed that account. And I was like, I think I'm doing something unethical here. I don't know.
but it was fun.
It was great. Yeah, it was so great.
It had to be fun. I actually met the Williams sisters. Oh God, I'm going to show my age. Back in the 80s. Okay. Wow. And I worked for a big company in the city, and they had, and they were big on golf. They sponsored the, you know, the US Open and stuff. So I was working in the marketing team, and we had a reception, and all these people, I had no clue about anybody, you know, in tennis. But then I met them, and I met, I think it was Jack Nicholson. I'm not even sure. I don't know. I met one of the other greats. And then I was standing next to people in tennis. I had no clue who they were. But I stood next to the Venus and Serena, and I got in the middle. And I'm like, these girls are cool. Can I get a picture? And they said, sure. And then I got a picture with them.
Wow. No way.
That was, and then afterwards, everybody's like, do you know who those girls are? And I'm like, yeah, they're tennis players, right?
I got a story real quick to shock everybody. Oh,
okay, go ahead. Hurry up, go ahead.
When I was younger, Tom Brady threw me a football when I went out for a Nike commercial in New York.
Tom Brady?
Wow.
He threw you a football?
Did you catch it?
Did you? I was going to say that too. Did you catch it?
That's okay. The real thing.
If you didn't catch it,
it's funny because she was in the Nike commercial, but again, nobody knew who he was
at that time, right?
At that time.
Mm, wow.
And you know who actually brought that up to me and said that Tom Brady actually threw the football?
What?
My mother.
Oh, Jesus.
She used to do the days.
She was
a guy from the Patriots. I thought it was the other guy, the thing. But no, it was the backup, and that's when Tom Brady was the backup.
So he was okay.
For Bledsoe.
For Bledsoe.
So I thought it was Bledsoe that threw me the football, but then she said, no, it was Tom Brady. I was like, what?
Okay, this is our claim to fame, okay? This is our claim.
You never know who could be throwing you a football.
No, it's not that. It's just because you guys talking about, like, you know, meeting like famous people you guys didn't even know.
I got a few famous
people.
So I just gave
you guys a story that's nobody even knows.
No, that's so crazy. Yeah, that's wild.
I got more. I got Stephen Eddie Gourmet. I got Tony Orlando, Jerry Lewis, Brooke Shields, Melissa Manchester. Wow. Yeah, but that was because I was also working for MDA. This show's all about me now. I used to work for Muscular Dystrophy Association, and they had the Labor Day telephone, Jerry Lewis. So we would have all the stars that came, and I worked for the main headquarters.
You never know.
So, you know, these people would just, but they were like regular folks for us because we saw them all the time. You know, it wasn't like star struck or anything like that. They would just walk by, you know. I gave Brooke Shields a Coke one day or something. You know, it didn't matter. Anyway.
When all is said and done, they are just regular people. You know,
right.
They're just,
you know,
like regular people who a lot of people know. It is
right.
What it is.
Exactly. They have a good fan base. They make a lot of money, but you know what? They're just regular folks. So anyway, let's get back to him.
Yeah.
Okay, Howard? Okay, so I have another song here that I want to play. We only have the MP3, but I do want to play it.
Let's go.
The Same Mistake. Let's do it, baby. Ooh, I like that.
Really knows the world DJ in the edit. And don't make the same mistake. No, I'm playing. Let's go. Okay. Man, right. I am trying to figure out that sound. And to me, and she's looking at me, she goes, why do you keep writing all this? Because there was a sound that a lot of people used back in like the 20, I'm going to say like the Lady Gaga kind of hit, Lady Gaga kind of thing, and with that, like the techno kind of sound.
Okay.
So it kind of like reminded me, not like saying like with the Lady Gaga joint, but it kind of reminded me from like the 2006s to 2012 when they use it. Like that guy that was signed with Young Money. I forgot the guy's name, man. And the record. When you call me down, 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 down.
Oh
down.
My God. That's funny.
Yeah.
Jay Sean.
So it kind of gave me that kind of like vibe a little bit. There's another person too, man, and I just can't.
I do the same thing. Sometimes we hear things and it's like we're just stupefied because we can't quite pin it. But he reminds me of the era, okay? Not so much the music.
The Monkey, no.
No, no, don't even go Gorilla. There, okay?
I'm
don't.
Trying to think.
Just stop, okay?
I like to think. You understand? I like to think what it sounds like because
he thinks once in a while. It's a good thing.
I like the EDM kind of thing.
No, okay, can I go now? I'm thinking he reminds me of an era where they had that type of speaking during the lyrics and the music in the background. Like, you know, like that song, you know, Major Tom. Remember that song, Major Tom? Earth below us. Oh, come on, guys. Really?
Oh, yeah. I know the song.
I know the song. But I don't see that. Like,
but all I'm
90s,
just,
maybe?
It just has, I'm just saying it has that feel to it where, like, that they're telling the story.
Damn.
And then, you know, the music is playing in the background. And then he puts his lyrics in
no,
there.
No, absolutely. But what I'm trying to think is right now, there's a certain sound.
Okay, you need to stop thinking. Okay, you need to stop thinking now.
It's going
to
drive me crazy.
Okay, so what inspired you with that song? I love that song.
Thank you. Yeah, that one was very, it's sort of a marriage of a few things, which I think is why it's hard to like quite put a finger specifically on like one
exactly.
reference.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of it that's very like 2000s pop. It's like an ode to 2000s pop of like Robin and Madonna, Confessions on a Dance Floor, very like that type of just makes you want to like sweat on the dance floor type, you know.
Right, yeah.
And then the producer that I worked with to create half of the album, who's just a very dear friend of mine, Arthur, he's French, and he brings this sort of like French touch, very like a disciple of Daft Punk, into a lot of what he does. And so there's a little bit of that, and ultimately I also sort of all under this umbrella of I love like 90s, the like 90s house that really inspired queer underground movements like Crystal Waters, that kind of thing.
Oh God, I used
just
to
ringing.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I was.
Oh, is that what you were No, that's somebody else.
That's not Crystal Waters.
That's not Crystal Waters.
Blue, that's Eiffel 87.
That's who you reminded me of.
Really?
Yeah, but that.
Fun. I love that song.
That's what you reminded me.
Yeah, but we were talking Crystal Waters here. You just totally sidetracked us. But that's
okay. Because you did the wrong hummer.
No. I did the right one. I did the right one, but it's just like it has so many different elements in there. And it's just like.
Yeah.
I love songs that talk, believe it or not. Like they have that little, you know, little thing going on. Like, remember. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Yeah.
Putting on the Ritz. You know, like, I love when they do that little literature there, and then they go right into the song and the music, and I don't know, I'm an oldie, so I love that stuff.
No, totally. I think it's such a nice contrast to have like the super melodic moments. And in that song, like the chorus is such a strong, if I may say, such a strong melody. And then you have like the really rhythmic moments of spoken word almost, where like you have to deliver it in a really particular way with a particular type of cadence. But if you use it right, like I've gotten the pleasure of watching a lot of people react to that song.
Yeah.
And there's always like when that talky kind of moment comes on, everyone has a bit of a reaction. And then when the chorus comes on, everyone has a bit of a reaction. And I'm like, you need the two together to,
yeah,
it's great. And I loved getting to watch you guys react to it as well. It's like a good litmus test, you know?
You saw us, right? I was just like, cause sometimes I don't want to hear the music before the show. Like I'll get a little taste of it, but then I'd rather, mm-hmm, get the spontaneity of my reaction to your song on the show.
Yeah, no, I think it's great.
Yeah, you know, it's like I don't know what to expect, but when it comes on and you're enthralled into the song and the music and the video and everything, I thought it was pretty cool.
Well,
that's just
you.
My opinion.
No, it was good.
You know, I liked it a lot. So the same mistake. I love that. I've had the same mistake too.
Don't look at me.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying. But anyway, and before we get into ending the show, okay, I just wanted to also bring up that because one of your favorite novels was The Songs of Achilles. So you do have the song Achilles on your album. Just describe that a little bit before we go.
Yeah, so I can't remember when I first read The Song of Achilles. It was pretty recent, like a post-COVID indulgence. And I just really, I love a good book. I read quite a lot, especially. I love like fiction.
Believe it or not, people, a guy that reads. Go ahead.
They exist. We exist. We exist. Yeah, and The Song of Achilles, for anyone who doesn't know, is by this amazing author named Madeline Miller, who specialized in like these Greek tragedies and Greek mythology. And it was kind of long rumored through all of the mythology that had come before that Achilles was fruity with his like right hand, who was his like battle aide and that kind of thing. And so she retells the story of Achilles pretty much through his lover's perspective, who is his like right-hand man, who's his childhood best friend. And they sort of, it's just this tragic tale of them being in love with one another, despite knowing it's doomed from some prophecy. The prophecy says that Achilles can either live this life of anonymity where no one knows him, no one knows that he's the greatest warrior in the world, or he can go to war and get all of this glory as being regaled as, you know, the greatest warrior ever. But if he goes to war, he will die. And when he dies, his partner will die with him. Mm. And Achilles kind of chooses the path of glory, the path of war, and ultimately, of course, the path of tragedy. I think that was just a really apt metaphor for what a lot of men in the world are like. They are very ego-driven. They love glory. They love the renown of it all, regardless of whether it ends in this sort of like flaming crash at the end of the road.
Right.
And I have this unhealthy attraction and allure to that, as I think a lot of people do. So it just felt like a beautiful metaphor for, you know, a lot of the things that I've been through in my life and just the way that men are in general. You know, there's like a brutality to it, and yet I think it's possible to romanticize that sort of brutality.
I like this guy. I really do. I really like this guy. But no, because when I read about that, I was like, you know, things like that can be so inspirational to your craft, you know, and everybody has a story to tell. And your story is very well written, and I really appreciate you coming on the show. I mean, I just wish you continued success. That's all. I think you're great in what you do, and your message is clear. And don't let anybody stop you.
Well, thank you, guys. Thank you for having me. Thank you for, you know, the very kind words of reassurance, for putting my music on a platform, for letting me talk for like an hour. I love it.
I love we could do another hour. Believe me. Trust me. We could go into all different aspects besides music, you know, but it all comes down to the music because that is what is telling your story. And, you know, you got a good way of doing it. So just keep on doing it.
Ah, thank you so much. I definitely will.
Oh, you better. I'll be watching you, dude. So, go ahead. You want to say anything before we go?
Excellent job. Just keep moving, keep pushing. Your music sounds great, man. And honestly, it was an honor to actually have you on DNA. Such great music. I know some of those records have been charting, correct?
Yeah, I believe they have, which is exciting.
It's exciting. I love charting records. I love it. So anyway, thank you again for coming on the show. Really appreciate you. And Benoit, go ahead, tell everybody where they can find you, hun.
Yeah, you can find me on Spotify at BINOY or wherever you listen to music, Apple Music, Tidal. I'm on Instagram and TikTok, Benoit Music, BINOY Music. Follow me. I do a lot of fun things, music, tennis, life, traveling, who knows?
I know. I'm going to be following him. I just started obviously following him and everything, but I'm going to keep following you because you are a very, very interesting individual. So, but people, just stay tuned with this guy. That's all I ask. Thank you very much, hon. We really appreciate you.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Just stay right there. Don't move, okay? But anyway, everybody, enjoy the music, enjoy the show, and we'll see you next Sunday.
See you next Sunday. Peace out.